Kaf Chesman Aleph. We're in the middle of a discussion, and we're trying to figure out the source of the Yehuda's opinion that Yehuda said the only way to accomplish Tashbisu was through Ein Bir El Sreifer. He said in the Mishnah, Sreifer is the only way to accomplish Bir Chametz. And where I was trying to look for a source, had a Kava Chomer, and that was rejected. Then he went to Gzeir Shava, that was also rejected. So the Gemara, the top line of Kaf Chesman Aleph, says Chazar of Yehuda v'danu din acher. Yehuda went back, he searched for a different limud, and he found something else. No sir, yeshnu v'bal tosiru. No sir, you violate the iser of leaving something over. The chametz v'bal tosiru, chametz also, you violate bal tosiru, which Rashi explains, top line, chametz yeshnu v'bal tosiru, lo yirav l'imatze, the iser bal yirav b'imatze, is the same way as leaving something over. By you leaving chametz over, you're going to violate the iser bal yirav b'imatze. So we see that nosar and chametz are pretty much the same. So once we establish that, aman nosar b'sreifa af chametz b'sreifa. So just like we find nosar, the din is to be burn it, so do chametz you have to burn it. That's Rabbi Yehuda's new limud. So amulo asham talu v'chata sa'of ha'ba'al safek lidvarecha yochichu. Shehen b'bal tosiru shanu omrim b'sreifa ve'ata omer b'kvura. So these two examples, which we'll see in a second, Ashim Taloi and Echatas Oof, that becomes, there's a suffix, psul comes to them. The din is, Rabbi Yehuda, some reason, says you have to bury it, not to burn it. So these things, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should actually have to burn. Why did he say bury it? So Rashi says, it's top Rashi, Ashim Taloi, Ba'al Safek Karis. Someone unsure whether you violated an Isser Karis. Kigon Chela v'shuman lefanav. He had a fat, two fats. One fat was Aser, means in Karis, one was Mutter. B'shagig be'echa mehen, he ate one of them accidentally. Wasn't sure which one he ate. V'veni odeh eizem emachol. V'mshach tuvira bo psul o nosar. Let's say shechted the ashim taloi. And then a psul happened to this animal. Poligi Rabbi Yehuda rabban b'shili perek with the end of basa t'pemura. Rabbi Yehuda b'kfur rabban b'sreifa. Machlok is what to do with this animal, this ashim taloi, that psul or nosar came to it. So if it's nosar, let's say, so the din is Rabbi Yehuda says you have to bury it. But according to Yehuda's very reasoning, based on this Gzeir Shava, B'memetinu, however you understand the limud, anything that has a Bal Tosiru to it should have a Sreifa, just like Noser has Bal Tosiru and Sreifa, and Chametz is Bal Tosiru and Sreifa, so too, this Ashim Tali that would have turned into a Noser should also have Sreifa. Why then does Rabbi Yehuda say it gets Kefura? So from this, Rabbi Yehuda, back to the Gemara, says, Shasuk Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda stayed quiet, he had no response to this. And that was it, Rabbi Yehuda had no answer. So the Gemara has a few interesting Hainu Dami Inches, which are always hard to understand. They used to have these sayings, the adages that they said in those times. So the three adages that they said to Rabbi Yehuda to explain this back and forth. So Amar of Yosef, Hainu Dami Inchi, this is what people used to say, Kafa Dechata Nigra Begava Nisuf Chardala. A kafa, a spoon, Dechata Nagra, that the molder, what was it?
They say craftsman.
Craftsman, that he made this bowl or something with a spoon, begava in it, nisof chardal. He burnt his tongue with mustard, something spicy. So basically trying to say something that the person, the craftsman made himself, he ended up getting hurt, damaged from it. So Hitzer Behuda brought this limud, and from the limud itself served as his downfall. His limud itself has a certain fault in it. So that's the Hainut Imrinchi that Yosef says. Amar Bai says something similar. Sadana b'sadina Yosef midava yadi mishalim. The sadina, the axe, I think, something that they made to lock the legs of someone who's in jail.
A stockade. What? Stockade.
Shackle maker here,
it says. A shackle maker. So the shackles that they would make to keep the legs together of a prisoner, those shackles that he made ended up being used on himself. And then Rava had the third one, the same idea. Rava Amar Gira Bigire, a arrow that he had made, Maktil Midabil Yade Mishalim, he kills himself. So Madvil Yade, that which he used his hand to make something, Mishalim, he was paid back. So he created some type of punishment in this world, let's say, some type of use in this world, and ended up going back on him, hurting him. So that's the idea they're saying. Rehuda had some limud for Chametz and ended up turning back on him. What? Yeah, exactly. So,
It's on the side of Lubai Omar.
Lubai Omar, that's if he was arguing or agreeing, you're saying. Okay, so there's a Rashi here that says, let's look at Rashi for a second. Chata sa'of haba'aha safet. So Gemara had told us, Rabbi Huda held, the question to Rabbi Huda was, if a chatas of, in the case of a safek, Rabbi Huda says you actually would bury it, you wouldn't burn it. That was part of the question Rabban asked of Bihuda. So what's the example? Rashi says, Kigon hipila suffik vlad suffik ain't a vlad. A woman had a miscarriage, and they weren't sure what the status of what was a vlad, whether it wasn't a vlad. Ain't ochels bekachim, she can't eat kachim. Shema vlad hu, ajitavi kaparsa. So the din is that you'll let this, a woman who gives birth to a vlad, she cannot eat kachim until after the 40 days for a boy or 80 days for a girl passes, and then she brings a carbon, and then she can eat kachim. So this case, unsure whether she had a vlad or not. So therefore, she midin safik, she can't eat kachim until she brings a kapara. So the din is, Rashi goes further, ha'ola ba'al tanai. So she brings a carbon ola on a tanai. Im yalad hi, if I give birth to a real vlad, harehi l'chavasi, this ola serves as my choba, and I can now eat kachim. Vim lav, if it didn't have a vlad, harehi nidava, it's simply a nidava, and I'm allowed to eat kachim anyways. So the chatas of miviyaso al safik. You could bring this oaf, because normally a yoledes has to bring a chatas oaf. So this is a safik. How are you able to bring a safik? Rashi asks, al safik, v'ain kan mishum chulun bazara. Isn't it chulun bazara? How are you able to bring a carbon that's a safik? An asham taloi, that's understandable, because that's the Torah. The Torah tells us you're allowed to bring asham taloi. The whole definition, it comes in a safik. But here is, you're bringing a chatas oaf midin safik. So how are you allowed to bring it? Isn't it perhaps safik chulun bazara? So Rashi says, "Dimikroi nafik maseches nazir perk misha amar." He says there's a special gzeres akasav. The Gemara Nazir brings psukim, a special gzeres akasav that you're allowed to bring a chatas of midin safik. That's Rashi's opinion. However, Tosos Rush in Gittin says it's simply, you know, it's halacha Rosh Moshinai. He says these psukim that are found in Gemara Nazir is simply a smach de ba'alma, it's halacha Moshe Moshinai. So there's a slight machlokas here, and we're showing them the reason why you could bring a chatas of. Is it because of a safek? Is it because of a halach mosh mesinai rather? Or is it because it's a psukim, real din deraisa, brought down in the Gemara Nazir? Now, Tos is an interesting Tos on the side here, Dibur Maskel of a chametz. He writes, V'chametz harehu b'bal tosiru. So he said, chametz is b'bal tosiru, you can't leave it over. And Rashi explains, because if you leave it over, you violate the Isser Bal Yorah Bal Yimatzeh. So to nosar is a violation of b'bal tosiru. The Tosis is bothered. He says, Tema Lari, Heichi Avil Le'el Kavachomer. Earlier, on Chav Zayin Mabez, how do we make this Kavachomer from Nosa? We know, sir. She'enu Ba'al Yirab Ba'al Yimatzeh. No, sir, it's not over Ba'al Yirab Ba'al Yimatzeh, but Chametz is. So just like Chametz gets Sreifa, Kavachomer Chametz should also get Sreifa. So Gemara says, the Tosis rather asks, V'ha Choshev Hacha Ba'al Tosiru Kima Ba'al Yirab. Aren't we saying, doesn't Gemara here say, Baal Tosiru is the same exact thing as Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh? So how then did Chav Zayin Mabez, the Gemara say, that there's no Isser Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh by Nosar? There was Baal Tosiru by Nosar. And that is equated. Baal Tosiru equals Baal Yirah Baal Yimatzeh, as Gemara and Rashi seems to prove here. How did Gemara ever make such a Kavachomer on the previous page? So Omari, the Mikol Makom Nira, the Ovid Shapir Kavachomer. Still, it was a good Kavachomer. The Nosar ain't a Baal Yirah. Dimiyad shahosir over v'shuvenu over. When it comes to nosar, the moment that, let's say, the you can't eat it anymore, it's considered nosar right away. You violate the isser that first second, the time is up, and the isser is no longer there. One time. Aval chametz afilu la'acher shahosir over b'chol shav b'bayira. The chametz, after the time, after the isser, shas isser comes into play, every single moment you own chametz, you see chametz, you violate the isser deraisa. It's a constant isser. That's the opinion of Tosis. Well, Ba'al Yirah is b'chol shav v'shav.
I understand that. By nosar. So what happens when you leave something over? You're leaving over carbon.
You leave carbon, exactly.
Okay.
You didn't eat it.
And now, okay, so you left it over. So why is it different than chametz?
The moment the time's up, let's say carbon pesach, let's say chatzos.
Right.
So you have leftover chatzos, you violate the isser at chatzos, and that's it. 12:01, you're over the isser. After that, there's no. You have an isser recorded on your slate, but you don't get constant isserim. One isser, and that's it.
It's one isser.
Every single second.
You have it.
So Shar Tzion writes in the Mishnah Berurah that the Rambam, you die from the Rambam, that it seems that by Yirah by Matzah, you're only over the isser that first moment. The second the Shas isser kicks in, you're over the isser one time, and you're not over the isser b'chol shav v'shav. That's what Mishnah Berurah tries to understand the Rambam. According to that, there's a machlokas Tosfos the Rambam, again, whether or not you violate the isser by Yirah by Matzah every single moment, or just that very first second.
Is that a machlokas only over here? It's by everything. Like a person doesn't have a bris.
Right. Oh, so that's a shiloh that can be raised by every single Isser Aseh by the case of Bris Mila.
Right.
At Bris Mila, that's a discussion. Machlokas Ram Ravid, whether you get Kares every single moment, there's a Kares hovering over, or no, the second the child or the person dies without a Mila, then he has Kares, whatever Kares means then. But yeah, that question can be raised by every Isser. The Gemara oftentimes raises that question. It raises it by Yacher, Baltacher rather, when it comes to Gemara Rosh Hashanah, whether you're over the Isser every single second or not. Okay, so the Gemara says now that we've established Rabbi Yehuda, we brought the source, we tried attempting to bring the source for Rabbi Yehuda, why do we know Bir is only through Sreifa? We seem to be rejected. Now the Gemara analyzes the opinion of the Chachamim of the Mishnah back in Chafal from Ralph. So the Gemara quotes Chachamim, Omer Mifar Vizorah. Chachamim said that you're supposed to break up the bread into pieces of crumbs, and the Zorah L'Ruach, you throw it up into the wind, or Matzil Yam, or you throw it into the water. So it's a big ambiguous when it comes to Matzil Yam. What's the ambiguity? So the Gemara explains, Ibari Lahu, Heichi Kamar. How does the Chachamim's opinion, how should it be read? Mifare Vizorah L'Ruach, Umifare Matzil Yam. When it says breaking up into crumbs, is that also going on the Matzil Yam? Also before you throw it into the water, you're supposed to break it up into crumbs? Oh, Dilma, or you read it as follows. Mifare Vizorah L'Ruach, you have to break it up and then throw it into the wind. Afa Matzil Yam, bad. But when it comes to throwing in the water, it's enough to just throw it in as is, and it will get all ruined from the water itself. So Rashi explains here. Actually, let's hold off on the Rashi. So the Gemara says, "V'tnan nami." We have a similar Mishnah, Gavi Avodah Zarah, Kihai Gavna, a very similar type of thing. Rabbi Yosi Omer Sochek V'Zorah L'Ruach. You're supposed to take Avodah Zarah, grind it up, and then throw it into the air, the wind. Oh, Matil Yam, or throw it into the water. See here too. Also, V'Barilu Hechi Kamer. How is it supposed to be read? The opinion of Rabbi Yosi by Avodah Zarah. Sochek v'zorah l'ruach, v'sochek matzil yam. Just like you have to break up the avodah zarah and throw it into the wind, so too you have to break it up and throw it into the water. O dilma sochek v'zorah l'ruach. Only when you throw it into the wind, you have to break up the avodah zarah. Aval matzil yam, but when it comes to throwing it into the water, it's enough to just take the avodah zarah as is and just chuck it into the water. That's the same shiloh. So we look at Rashi now. Rashi says, O dilma. It's a little lower down. O dilma, the ruach who debay pirur. Oh, do we say that only when it comes to throwing to the wind does it require breaking up? Because if you throw it whole, a piece of challah, a whole loaf, into the water, someone might pass by and eat it. I'm saying into the wind, someone might get into it. When it comes to throwing to the water, once you throw a whole loaf into the water, it's going to get all disgusting on its own. So it comes out from Rashi, the reason why you have to break it up, grind up the bread, is because if you don't, someone might find that you throw a big piece, a loaf of bread into the air, if it probably won't get caught by the wind, but you throw it up into the air, I don't know what it's going to do with it, it's going to fall right back down. Someone might come find it and eat the piece of bread, so you're supposed to break it up so nobody could find it and maybe nichshal. So it comes to the Avodah Zarah, Rashi says the same din is true when it comes to Avodah Zarah. What's the reason why you have to break up the Avodah Zarah before throwing it up into the air? Because if you throw it whole, someone might find it and worship the Avodah Zarah. So someone might be nichshal on it, you're supposed to break it up and throwing it into the wind. The Rambam, however, the one of the Achronim, I'm not remembering who, is Medayik from the Rambam. The Rambam says, the reason why you break it up, why do you have to grind up the Avodah Zarah? It's not because someone might be nichshal on it. It's because that's the kiyum of being ma'abed Avodah Zarah. The way you have to get rid of it and destroy it, you have to destroy it. You have to crumble up and get rid of it. Just to throw it out into the wind off the cliff without breaking it up, that might not be enough. You have to actually grind it up into little fine pieces, and that's a kind of mitzvah, not because there's a chashash someone might find it and worship the Avodah Zarah.
What a, like, you could bury it. So like by Yaakov Avinu, he told them to gather by Alon Bachos, he said to bury it, take off the Avodah Zarah and it was to bury it. Buried it over there.
So that would seem to be a good enough communion between the two. I mean, according to Rambam, burying might not be enough, because you haven't destroyed it. But for Rashi, it might be enough, because it's out of sight. No one's going to be nichshal. So if that's the true case, then you have to ask for the Rambam, how do you understand the case in the Torah, right? So now we've established, this is the question. When it comes to grinding up the bread and grinding up the Avodah Zarah, does that also apply when throwing it into the water? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba. Mistavra Avodah Zarah, Diliyam HaMelach Kazli, Lo Bois Chika. Chomets to the Shar Naharos cause you to buy pure. Avodah Zarah, Pashas is, you're throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why they deal with this. The machlokas seems somewhere medayik from Rashi. Rashi says Yam Hamelach Hanukra Mir Bitiya. I don't know what that means. Ein Svina Overes Bo. A boat doesn't pass through this. So somewhere medayik from Rashi means Yam Hamelach as we know it. Others are medayik from the Rambam. He seems to say all salt water, sea waters that have salt in it. So. Exactly. So, but Yam HaMelech has a lot of salt. That really deteriorates in the ocean. I'm not so sure if that's going to happen as much with the Avodah Zarah as by Yam HaMelech. That might be part of the discussion. There's a long Tosfos here also that discusses some of these ideas. So it says, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, for some reason, you're throwing a dafka to Yam HaMelech. So the salt itself, the Yam HaMelech, whether it's the Yam HaMelech dafka or any of the salt sea, salt water, so Avodah Zarah is going to get destroyed from that salt water. But when it comes to, and therefore you would not have to break it up. But when it comes to chametz, which you're throwing chametz to any waters, people all over the world are going to find chametz, so you can throw it to any river, so there you require a pure. Because there's no salt necessarily in a river, you're going to be in a lake, but there's no salt, the salt's not going to ruin the bread. Which
a little soggy.
Well, a little soggy, but all right, it won't be salty.
No, what I'm saying, just to clarify, if it's a salty water, then obviously it's going to break down completely, right? But the stumbling, like you were saying, in any water, it's an impurity.
Right. So the Gemara is going to say something like this in a moment. It does sound a little shvach. But the Gemara says now, look, the Gemara says, using the svar, the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Yosef, Ad Rabba Ipcha Mestavra. No, the opposite makes more sense. Avod the Zara, the Lo Memisa, Avod the Zara, a stone, a statue, is not going to get disgusting from the water, by Yisrika, that requires to be ground up. However, when it comes to chametz, the mimai is like you were saying, loaf by pure. But when it comes to a loaf of bread, you throw it into the water, it's going to be disgusting. Whether it's salt water, regular water, is going to get disgusting. So for that case, you wouldn't have to break it up. So that's of Yosef's opinion. The Gemara says, Tani Kavasa de Rabba, Tani Kavasa de Rav Yosef. I'm going to bring a brisa that supports each of these opinions. There's a reason to say that Rabba's right, there's a reason to say Rav Yosef is right. What are these brises? Tani Kavasa de Rabba. Person's walking in the desert, mifare v'zorah l'rach, so he could break it up and he throws it into the wind. What's he referring to here? It's referring to the chametz. So if chametz, he breaks up the chametz and he throws it into the wind. But if he's walking on a boat, he also has to break it up and he puts it into the water. So we see according to this that Rabbah says that it comes to chametz, you always have to break it up. He said, when it came to Avodah Zarah, you don't have to break it up because you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, but bread, you always have to break it up because bread is thrown into any body of water. So this supports the opinion of Rabbah that even though you might say it's going to get disgusting in the water, still you have to break it up before throwing the chametz into the water. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yosef, Hayam Halek b'Midbar, a person's walking in the desert, talking about Avodah Zarah now, Sochek v'Zorah l'Ruach, he has to grind it up and throw it into the wind. He's going on a boat, he also has to grind it up and throw it into the water. This supports of Yosef because even though it's Avodah Zarah, and since it's Avodah Zarah, it's not going to get disgusting by throwing it into the water. You have to therefore break it up into fine pieces before chucking it into the water. So these are the two prices. Now Gemara says,
what do you think? The whole throwing into the water by itself was not good enough?
Throwing to the water, except by Avodah Zarah. And
Avodah Zarah.
So now Gemara says, now that we've had these brises, Shchika l'Rabba, Shchika kash l'Rabba, Pir kash l'Rav Yosef. The Shchika, Rabba said, you did not need Shchika for Avodah Zarah. But we just brought a brise in support of Yosef, but now it's against Rabba. The brise says, you do need Shchika for Avodah Zarah. And Pir the kash of Yosef. The Rav Yosef says, Pir bread does not require Pir. Because throwing the water alone is going to make it disgusting. But we just brought a brisa that supported Rabbah, but now serves as a kasha of Yosef, because it says you do have to break up the bread before throwing it into the water. So there's a kasha, each brisa, although it supports one of them, the other brisa is a kasha against them. So the Gemara says, Tzchika l'Rabbah, lo kasha. Ha l'yam ha-melech, ha-l'shar n'haros. No. Rabbah says the only time you do not need Tzchika for Avodah Zarah is when you're throwing dafka into the yam ha-melech, which most cases apparently Rabbah thought was the case. So, when you throw into the Yam HaMelech, the salt, is going to deteriorate the Avodah Zarah on its own. But when throwing into other rivers, which is what the Bryce is talking about, where it's not as salty, you would have to first break it down before throwing it into the river. And now, Pira, Le Rav Yosef, Lo Kasher, Ha Bechiti, Ha Benama. comes of Yosef as well. Normally speaking, you would not have to break up the bread into pieces because the water itself is going to make it disgusting. But there's certain types of materials, we'll see in a second in Rashi, certain types of products which will not get disgusting from the water, therefore you would have to break it down. So what is it? What's the difference between chita and nama? Literally, chita is wheat, nama is bread. So says Rashi, bechita shechmitu baipur, if it's chita, if it's wheat that became chametz, it would require breaking it up. Kolomar pizza, you have to disperse it. Shlo yitnam besak v'yizrikim, don't put it in a bag and throw it as one. Eliyifazrim al pnei amayim, disperse it, throw it on top of the water. Shlo yuchal adam laktam al pnei amayim, so a person couldn't gather them together. When it came to the bread was all, it's one piece, one unit, one entity, that you would not need to. I guess because it gets disgusting. Rosh says it gets disgusting, so bread itself. But when it comes to the chita, when it became chametz, the Achorim explained that it's hard. The piece of wheat which became chametz are still hard. It's not bread. So the water itself won't ruin it, so you have to therefore break it up into little pieces. But the bread, which is going to get disgusting from the water, that will not need to be broken down. Okay, let's start the new Mishnah. New Mishnah says, Chametz shel Nachri she'avar lo Pesach mutar b'hana. A Nachri who had Chametz, who of course had no obligation to get rid of the Chametz, he had through Pesach left over after Pesach, it's mutar b'hana. No reason to be have an Israel now. V'shel Yisrael, however, if it owned by a Jew, asur b'hana, she'nemar lo ye'el l'chosor. You can't see any Chametz of a Pesach. He violated the Israel, and therefore afterwards it's, anything remaining is going to be asur b'hana. And Rashi points out here, and the Mishnah says, Mishum Shinema lo yer alecha, big Gemara. The Gemara is going to tell us in a couple of blot, Nifarishla Mishum Knasa, the Avrala Mishum lo Bayira. Not that this is an Isser deraisa of Isser na, but simply it's a Knas for leaving it over. Since he violated the Isser Bayira, the Chum make Knas, that you can't get any Hana from this leftover Chametz. So now the Mishnah wants to know, who is the author? The Gemara rather wants to know, who is the author of this Mishnah? Mani Masnisen. Who wrote this Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Shimon, Lo Rabbi Yossi Galili. None of the three following candidates. So the Gemara is about to going to discuss the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Galili, and the Gemara is not going to bring it back to our Mishnah until the bottom of the next page, which we probably won't do until tomorrow morning. So kind of forget the Mishnah for a moment. Let's just focus on the Brisa. We're going to get the following Brisa down, and then we'll bring it back to the Mishnah tomorrow morning in Mirzah Hashem. So again, the Mishnah is not like any of these three. So Mahi, where do you find these three opinions? The Tani, the Brisa says, Chometz, bein lefnei zmano, bein lachas zmano, over alav bilav. So if it's before the time of Pesach, or after the time of Pesach, I mean, lefnei zmano means after the Shas, before Pesach, but after the Shas Isser. Rashi says, bein lefnei zmano, misheshal shetechshech. After the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, but not yet Pesach. Or afterwards, Rashi explains, la'achas mano misha over Pesach, after Pesach is over. So the Gemara explains, these two moments of time, you're over a love belav. You violate a love. However, toch manu, during Pesach, if you have chametz, over a love belav, v'kares, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Not only over a love, but there's also kares during this time period. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, omer chametz lifnez mano, Ula acher's mano eino over alav beloklum.
What does what toch's mano is?
Sorry, toch's mano means bimoi during Pesach itself. Oh, okay. Rabbi Shimon argues in Rabbi Huda and says, chometz lifnei's mano, ula acher's mano before the time, meaning the sixth hour before Pesach, la'acher's mano when Pesach is over, eino over alav. You don't violate anything beloklum. However, toch's mano, meaning during Pesach itself, over alav bekaris ubilav. You violate, you get a lav. The Achronim deal with why this change of the order, kares and lav, as opposed to lav and kares. But you violate a lav, and you also get a punishment of kares. Now there's this random statement in the Brisa, unclear what this means, and it says when the time it's asur b'achila, it's also asur b'ana. So the Gemara just interjects here and says asur the Tanakama. That line goes back to the Tanakama, goes back to Rabbi Huda. This line of the shot that's asur b'achila is asur b'ana is not really a continuation of Rabbi Shimon. It's out of place. It should go back to Rabbi Huda, saying that when there's an isra achila, namely the sixth hour before, there's also an isra hana. So you look at Rashi top line, mishash asur b'achila, the time it's asur to eat. Hainu mishesh shalos ulamala, de amrin lifnei zmanu belav, V'hamilsa Rabbi Yehuda Kamali. This is Rabbi Yehuda's statement. K'nefarsh b'gemara asan l'tanakama. That was again a mistake in the Braisa, so that should have been placed before Rabbi Shimon started speaking. And then the third opinion is Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer Toma al Tzmecha Heya Chametz Aser Bana Kol Shiva. How are you going to find that Chametz is Aser the entire time? So says Rashi, Da'afilu Toma al Tzmecha Da'afilu B'tzoch Hamoed Kamar Demote Bana V'Kometame Ahani Da'asri. So there are three opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says before his man, after his man, there's a lav. During this man, there is a karis also. There's a lav before and after a lav, and during Pesach a lav and karis. Rabbi Shimon says the lav and karis only exist betoch man, but before and afterwards there's no lav at all. And Rabbi Yossi doesn't tell us what he holds about lav before and afterwards, but he does tell us there's no iser hana. Rabbi Yossi clearly is the opinion that known throughout Pesachim that it's mutter behana. So those are three opinions.
Afterwards.
He doesn't tell us exactly when, but it seems like even during Pesach itself, Rashi says there's a heter hana. So the Gemara now analyzes each of these opinions. Again, we will not bring it back to Mishnah until tomorrow morning. So uminayin leochel chametz mishay shol sulamala shu over below sase. How do I know eating chametz from the sixth hour and on you violate, you get a lav according to Rabbi Yehuda? Shneemar lo sochel alav chametz divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't eat chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi explains four lines down, Lo socha alav mishas shchita, the time of shechting of the Karban Pesach, the hainu mishay shol sulamala shechama notu laharif. That time, that's 6 hours, the Gemara is going to tell us in the fifth parak of Pesachim, that when the sun begins to lean towards the west, that's the time of shchita, that's around noon, that's the 6th hour of the day. That's shas shchita. But since it says Lo socha alav chametz, you can't eat chametz during shchita, this context of shchita talking about this pasuk, then so that's the time that the Isser Lav kicks in. Amar lo Rishimun, Rabbi Shimon responds, V'chi Efshar lo Markein, is that really possible to say this? V'halo kfar ne'mar lo socha alav chametz shivas yamim. The Pasuk already told us you can't eat for the 7 days. It doesn't mention anything about Erev Pesach. It says 7 days is an Isser Achila, nothing before, nothing after. So lo socha alav chametz shivas yamim, tocha alav matzah. So no, 7 days you can't eat chametz, you eat matzah. Im kein matam alom lo socha alav chametz. So then why does it say Lo Socha Chametz? What's the added pasuk to teach me? B'sha'a she'yeshem b'kum o'echo matzah yeshem b'al tocha chametz. B'sha'a she'ena b'kum o'echo matzah ena b'al tocha chametz. So what's the connection here? You see, the hekesh of chametz to Isser Chametz. Whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, there's also a mitzvah, there's an Isser Chametz. And that only exists during the 7 days, nothing before. So here's where Rishimon rejects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So Achorim point out that this opinion of Rabbi Shimon serves as a basis for the well-known opinion of the Gra. And the Gra held, what's the mitzvah of eating chametz? So the Pasha, the Shulchan Aruch Pasha, the first night of the Leil Rishon of Pesach, the mitzvah to eat. The rest of the rest of Pesach is simply a rishus, and that's the Medrash tells us. One pasuk says the mitzvah to eat all 7 days, another pasuk says the mitzvah to eat the first night. How do you reconcile? There's a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to eat the first night. Have matzah the first night, the rest of it is simply a rishus. However, the Gros Mechadish brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that there's a mitzvah, there's a key mitzvah, there's not a chiv, but there's at least a key mitzvah of eating matzah all 7 days. So they try to point out from Rabbi Shimon here as well that whenever it says, B'shah sheyeshnu b'kum echol matzah, yeshu b'achamet tocha chametz. Whenever there's a kum, there's a key mitzvah of eating matzah, that's when there's an irsa chametz. Now, if you say there's only a key mitzvah the first night, are you going to say there's only a key, there's only Issa Chametz the first night? Certainly not. So the fact that we know there's an Issa Chametz the entire 7 days, we can learn from that there must be a key mitzvah all 7 days of Pesach as well, of eating matzah. So this serves as a source for the opinion of the Gra. Says the Gemara.
Everybody else holds what?
The Pashas is that it's only a Rishus. That you could, if as long as you don't have Chametz the rest of the Pesach, you just have fruits, vegetables, whatever you want, and basar. There's no problem with that. Again, if it comes to Shabbos, Yantif, you're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah. But leaving that aside, let's say during Chol HaMoed, where there's no obligation, there's no keem of eating matzah. You can eat matzah, nothing. Just don't eat chametz. The Gra says, no, when you eat chametz, when you eat matzah, you actually get a mitzvah every time. Actually, there's a Mishnah Berurah says it might be the same din. He has a suffix whether this applies as well to Sukkos.
Doesn't say Shivas Yamim Tocha Matzos?
The Medrash has that Shaila. It says Shivas Yamim Tocha Matzos, but it also says I forget the exact pasuk. Also, only the first night you eat matzah. Only the first night. first night to the exclusion of all the other nights. So how do you shtim the two, the 7 days in one night? Do you have, so the Gemara, the Medrash says, no, there's a chiv to eat one, the first night. The rest of the Pesach is only reshus. Reshus doesn't mean a kimitzvah, you're allowed to.
You could say the first night you have to eat shmur matzah, and you say, well, the rest of the night could be regular.
Right. Could be. Right. Yes. And
that's what you want makbid on.
Right. And you always have to have shmura to a certain extent, because it depends how you understand shmura.
Mishas ksiro, mishas.
Whether it's din shmir medin chametz, so you shouldn't have any chametz, and therefore you always have to have shmur matzah.
Uh-huh.
Or if it's simply a lishma, which we'll get to in a little bit. That's a Rashi later on.
You
also say
this applies to
Sukkos?
You
also say this applies to Sukkos? So Mishabrua says, he's a whether or not the same would apply by Sukkos. Because Tesvav, the Gezer Shav, the Gemara applies, that all the Dinam of Pesach apply to Sukkos and vice versa. So maybe it's the same thing. It's not only a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkos the first night, and the rest of the Sukkos, let's say, just as long as you're not having bread meal or mazonos, you can eat outside. No. You should dafka try to eat in the Sukkah, because it's a key mitzvah each and every time you eat in the Sukkah. Mm-hmm. That's the suffix he has based on this Gra that he says by Pesach.
Who has that something?
Mishabura, I believe. I think so.
Ayin Shal.
I think Hilchasuki talks about this. Okay, now the Gemara. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda says again, since there's an extra word, Lo Sochal comes to teach me that's referring to there's an Isser, even Erev Pesach after the sixth hour. So now the Gemara says, My time with Rabbi Huda. So that's the price. So what's the reason of Rabbi Huda? So Tlosa Kroi Ksiva. There are three different psukim. Lo yochal chametz, lo yeachal chametz. Rather, it should be v'chom achmetz lo sochelu, lo sochal of chametz. It says three different times. Why three different times? Chal lefnei zmano, chal lachar zmano, v'chal l'toch zmano. One refers to the lav before Pesach. One refers to the lav after Pesach. One refers to the lav and kares during Pesach. That's the opinion of Yehuda. V'shimun chal l'toch zmano. One is to tell me there's a lav to eat during Pesach. The chom achmetzetz, that pasuk chom achmetzetz, mibayle is needed for the following. Lichadatani, the Brisa tells us, Ein li ela shenichmatz me'olov. I only know that there's Isser chametz when the chametz became chametz on its own. Machmas davach. Let's say something else, something externally had caused this thing to become chametz. So maybe you think you're not chayv to eat, not over the Isser chametz. Minayin, tamalomar, chom achmetzetz, anything that becomes chametz, lav dafka that became may olava, but anything that became chametz is going to be considered isser chametz. That's what that pasuk is used for. And lo yeachel, the other pasuk, mibaylei lichadetanya, for the following brisa, Rabbi Yosi Glili Omer minayin lepesach mitzrayim shein chimutu noeg el yom echad. How do I know when it came to Pesach mitzrayim that it was only noeg the first day, one day? Tamalomar lo yeachel chametz, don't eat it for that just one day. The Padre said, Lo yecha chametz, don't eat chametz. Then it says, this day, you're leaving this day. So the fact that it has next to each other one day, that very day, and it said, Lo yecha chametz, tells me that it was only asr to eat chametz one day Mitzrayim. So it comes out to Rabbi Shimon is that although there are three psukim, two of those psukim are needed to teach me a certain halacha, therefore only leaving one pasuk available to teach me that during the moed is an asr chametz, and not before Pesach, and not after Pesach.
Why is it not there?
Sorry, say it again?
Why is it no gear that they only had chametz, this or chametz one day?
Who cares, right? My dava hava. Yeah. Right, so someone in the back asked this question. It wasn't so much like a halacha answer, it's more like a drush he was trying to say.
Pesach Sheni is only one day, no?
Right, I know the question, but who cares what happened in Pesach Mitzrayim? It has no relevance to us now. The Gemara asks a few places, "Ma da hava hava?" Whatever happened. We don't try to figure out what happened. Like Gemara in Huma says, "Which begadim did Aaron and how do they wear the begadim? First, back in Huma, how do they put the begadim on Aaron and the children when they came to preparing for the Mishkan? What was the order of putting the begadim on?" The Gemara says, "Who cares? Ma da hava hava? Whatever happened. It doesn't make any nafkamina to us."
Right.
Gemara said no to how to figure out that psukim, how to read the psukim properly. So we don't have any problem reading the psukim here. We're maybe using the psukim to teach me something. But my dehava hava. So.
Well, Hatam Yotzim tells you that's not Pesach anymore. What does Hatam Yotzim mean?
That's the day they're leaving Mitzrayim. That day they're leaving Mitzrayim. Don't eat chametz. Right. So only one day. But the question still remains, Ma'ad Havahava, why does it really affect us? I'm going to take a quick peek back here, see if anyone, I didn't see anybody addressed it other than that one in the back, but it was more of a Chasisha type of answer. Not that we don't like that stuff, but just didn't really answer the question for us. I don't see anybody who does address this. Okay.
What's the? I just don't understand the drasha before that about if something becomes chametz by itself,
mm-hmm.
so then it's chametz. But if you make it chametz, if it comes from an external source,
mm-hmm.
and you think that it's not chametz.
I said, well, what's the relevance of that? You're saying?
No, I mean that doesn't really make sense. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference if you have a dough and it sits there for more than 18 minutes and becomes chametz? Well, if you have a dough and you make a dough and then you take a chametz agent, whatever, and you after 2 minutes and you put it in, now it's chametz. So
either way, it's chametz. The mice, the chepta you have in front of you is bread.
Right.
Who cares how it got there?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Is that really seen? You never say that like by tumo. You don't say like. Can tell me by itself, or if you ate it, you touched it, it's a difference. You never see something such an
afternoon. Right, and so Tosis is bothered, he actually thinks the other way, that something machmas davar acher is going to be more chametz than something that becomes me olav. That's what he tines also from another perspective. So,
either way,
I'm not sure exactly the mitzvahs, why one would be worse than the other one, I don't know.
Well, according to Arsko, there's different levels of chametz apparently.
So once there are levels, then he has to stop being mechalik, which are worse levels. Okay. So now that we establish the basis for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, "Yehuda machmas davar acher minale." How does he know to include even chametz that became chametz from something else, an external source? He learns this from the following: "Midafki rachmana v'loshen machmetzes." So the fact that the pasuk used machmetzes, a strange lashon. So machmetzes, you learn two things. The strange lashon machmetzes teaches me that midav acher is also going to be considered chametz, and it also teaches me, since it says lo machmetzes lo sochelu, that still gives me a second pasuk that teaches me don't eat chametz. And the Rabbi Yosef Li Minali, how does he know that Pesach Mitzrayim they only had one day of chametz? Ibais ema midusamech lehayom. He also the fact that they're smuchim, the two pesukim next to each other, doesn't remove the ability of using the lo sochel as a pasuk of a third source. It says lo sochel, that's a three pesukim. It says don't eat chametz. It also happens to be next to the pasuk of hayom, so you can learn two dinim from there as well. Alternatively, ibais ema smuchim lo darsh. Maybe Yehuda doesn't hold with smuchim. So if you remember, I think in the Gemara Brachos tells us Yehuda was actually of this opinion of lo darsh and smuchim, and the Tosus Rashi points out. Rashi says, "Ibayis ema." It's around like eight narrow lines down from the top. "Ibayis ema smuchin lo darish Yehuda ela b'mishna Torah lachud." He only darshan smuchin in Mishna Torah. V'hach shemina le. We find ourselves in Mishna Torah now. V'hach shemina le b'per kamad yivamos. This is what he says in Gemara Yivamos. I think it's also Gemara in Brachos. Hilkach less le the Rabbi Yosi Gli. Therefore, he doesn't hold to this concept. This is Rabbi Yosi Gli's drasha. That they only kept the chametz one day in Pesach, and in Mitzrayim, maybe even more than that they kept.
Because here we're in Shmos, we're not in Torah, so that's why it's not Darish.
Exactly, we don't find ourselves in Devarim now, only in Devarim, in Mishra Torah, does he Darish Smuchim. That's interesting, it's very apropos, I guess, now that we're in Devarim, why that is the case. Why is he only learning it in Sefer Devarim? I think the Ritva in Bracha says that because Sefer Devarim was organized by Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't written, wasn't Moshe. Every word came from Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it was organized by Moshe Rabbeinu, since there was an organization to it, so you could darshan smuchin. You could say, why you put this pasuk next to that pasuk, and you learn all these drashas. When it came to the rest of the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to do it however he did it, and also a particular order, but it wasn't meant dafka to put this pasuk next to this pasuk, and therefore you don't learn darshan. Something along those lines is the Ritva's explanation. Okay, so now the Gemara goes further. I don't understand this machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Mar.
I heard Rabbi spoke on Shabbos. It was in all the four form separate mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is separate.
Every mitzvah is separate.
Everything in all the four Parashas Shmos, Vayikra, Mimidah, it's all every mitzvah that says over there. It's just a separate mitzvah. What to do? It says, but in Devarim, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu puts it all together.
He combines all the mitzvahs together. How do
and
we see
that? It's the totality of the mitzvahs, totality of a yid. What a yid is is Devarim.
So once you have everything coming together, combined, so you can start darshaning smuchim. Why this pasuk next to that pasuk?
Right. What is the totality of what a yid is? It's a sefer musar. We said the Devarim is a sefer musar. The whole sefer Devarim. You talked about the Yiddish. Somebody used to read a little bit from sefer Devarim every day, because as musar, the biggest musar sefer is from Moshe Rabbeinu. So because Moshe Rabbeinu puts it all together.
Right.
So that's why you can do it smuchim.
I say Parshas Yira, that some say at the end of davening is taken from Parshas Ekev, I think. The section Parshas Yira, I think the end of the articles you find in some of them, is taken from Ekev. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar. Minayin lo'ochel chametz m'shei sholos u'lamala shu over b'losas. How do I know, quoting from mentioned before, from the sixth hour and on you violate the Isser Alav, shenema lo'ochel chametz, the river Behuda, Amar l'b'shimon, v'chiyav shalom arkein. Again, this is all repetition. We already have a pasuk that said 7 days, not before. So Rabbi Yehuda, Shaper Kamerle Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon had a nice response. So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond back to Rabbi Shimon? So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lecha, Hahu Lekova Chova, Afil Bisman Hazeh Huda Asa. That pasuk that you quote is coming to tell me that there's an obligation that exists even Bisman Hazeh. Says Rashi, Lekova Chova, it's much higher up in the daf. Lekova Chova. Hi Shivas Yomim Tocha Matas Slavla Kushe Isser Chametz LaMatas Mitzas Achias Mata. Also, not coming to make a hekesh between Isser Chametz and Mata. El La Kushe Achias Mata La Taras Chametz Likvoa Achil Mata Chovel Doros Kozman Shu Muzra Al Chametz Afil Bezman and Shein Pesach. So could come to tell me that just like Chametz is Ladoros, so too Pesach Mata is Ladoros, but not to tell me Chametz and Pesach are Chametz and Mata are exactly the same. Just in terms of the din of, just like chametz is ladaros, so to matzah ladaros. So, delo tema, Rashi continues, delo tema al matzah sumerom yochlu, ksiv, iika pesach mechai bechiz matzah vilo lo. Because the pasuk connects matzah, mara, with karim pesach, so one might think only when there's a karim pesach is there a chiv matzah, but when there's no pesach, there's no chiv matzah. The pasuk comes to teach me that as long as there's an isser chametz, even without a pesach, there's going to be a chiv mitzvah deraisa of matzah as well. And they're showing a debate what the status of Maror is Bizman Hazeh. Based on this connection as well, it sounds like, well, Maror is connection to Pesach, and there's no connection of Maror to Chametz here, so maybe Bizman Hazeh should be Dir Bottom. So this seems to be Machlok, because we're showing them what the status of Maror is Bizman Hazeh. Anyways, that was the response of Rabbi Huda to Rabbi Shimon. So now Rabbi Shimon Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Shimon, Lekova Chova Minolei, Nafkalei. Has Rabbi Shimon know that there's a Chiyav Matzah Deraisa Bizman Hazeh? He doesn't have a pasuk available because he uses this pasuk to teach me that Pesach matzah is only mitzvah matzah is only isser chametz during the 7 days. How does he know there's a mitzvah matzah ledaros? So mi be'erev tochlu. There's another pasuk mi be'erev tochlu. Rashi says it's a kroy yisera. It's just an extra pasuk. The haksiv ksiv al matzah merom yachlu already tells us a mitzvah of eating at leil Pesach. So what be'erev tochlu matzah? It's extra. What does extra pasuk tell me? Ledaros, says Rabbi Shimon. Now Yehuda. What does Behuda do with this extra pasuk? Mibayle, he needs this pasuk, litame vishaya b'derech v'cholka. Tell me that these people who are tame and can't perform the Karim Pesach, or who are too far away from the Beis HaMikdash to perform the Karim Pesach, so sakadai techamina hol b'pesach lo yochel masa amara nami lo yonechel. It's just like these people do not eat the Karim Pesach. You're talking about bizman HaMikdash, bizman HaPesach, since these people are not able to eat it because they're either tame or they're too far away, so too one might think they shouldn't or don't have to eat matzah mara. Kamash mom, this pasuk, this extra pasuk, Be'erev Tochlu, tells me that no, they still have to eat matzah, they still have to eat mara, even though they don't bring the Karban Pesach.
It's interesting, because you already know that matzah is dependent from Pesach Ledoros, from the prior pasuk, yet you'd still have a Havamina that Bizman the Pesach is Kayim, matzah reverts back to being dependent, and that
right. So the Gemara is about this more explicit about these discussions in relation to matzah, the Karim Pesach. You're right. That's the point. Very good point. Bizman ha Pesach, they're very much intertwined. When it's not, the times of Beis HaMikdash nowadays, it's completely independent of it. But that's basically what results. It has two dinim, depending on Bizman HaMikdash or not. It has a completely different nature, Bizman HaMikdash, than Shalom
HaMikdash. I would have thought like this, that there's two chiyuv matzah. There's a chiyuv matzah that's intertwined with the Korban Pesach, and then there's an independent chiyuv matzah that's even when there's no Korban Pesach. So I would say, if that was the lima, then you wouldn't have this habamina that if you were b'derek tefol or your tame, that you wouldn't be mechuy the matzah, because you still have the other chiyav, just like you have l'doros, the other chiyav of the independent achilas matzah. You see the gemara, you see the one replaces the other, the independence of the chiyav matzah replaces the dependency that exists when chiyav pesach is involved still.
Right, so you're saying, right. So you're saying even bizman of Pesach, you still have the idea of Pesach of matzah being independent. Matzah can still be independent bizman haPesach because it doesn't go about the objective chi that exists. It goes based on the individual. For this individual, since he cannot bring the carbon Pesach, mimela he has an independent, isolated mitzvah of matzah. That's your point here, is it?
But you see, not that way from the Hamina.
Well, the Hamina, not that way. It maybe has to be intertwined. Since everyone else for the Tzibor, they're intertwined. So maybe for this individual also, it should be intertwined. Mashma, no, this person has to be viewed at individually. For him, his perspective, he has an independent mitzvah matzah, despite the fact that he can't bring the Korban Pesach. So I guess the Hamina is dependent whether you view it as a globally or more individually. That seems to be the Hamina and the Maskana. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, Tamei v'shayah b'derech rechoka lo itzricha. For him, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that a Tamei and derech rechoka have to eat matzvah, even though they don't bring the Korban Pesach. They don't need a pasuk. Why? They're lo gar mi'arel b'neichar. They're no worse than arel and a b'neichar don't have bris milas, d'chsiv v'chol arel lo yochal bo. That arel can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Bo hu ein ochel, he can't eat from the Korban Pesach, aval ochel hu b'matzah mara, but he is able to eat from other things, namely matzah mara. So once an Ariel and Benechar have to eat the matzvah, of course, a Derech HaChoka and a Tamei, who are inherently, they are Tahor, they have Bris Mila inherently, it's just something external, they're either too far away or they have an external Tumah, that prevents them, certainly they should have to eat the matzah mara, therefore no need for an extra pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda, Ksiv Bahai, Uksiv Bahai. No, you can't learn this Kavah Chomer. You have to write it by an Ariel, that an Ariel needs to be told to eat the matzah mara, and you also need to write it by a Derech HaChoka. There's a long Rashi here. Rashi says, let's do the top of this Rashi at least. Ksiv behai, arel ubenechar, uksiv tamei vishaya b'derech rechoka, delecha mitzos, matzos, vafagab de matzah yalaf minei. Even though you can, in theory, learn one from the next, still nonetheless, hilkach itzterech haikesha lechova chova. Still, they needed to teach you lechova ledoros. Even though you could have learned one from the next, it was still needed to say in the pasuk. And then he goes on to discuss, we won't do the rest of the Rashi, I guess, here. Now, there's a Rashi says here, what's the definition of an Ariel Benechar? Rashi says, Ariel is Shemesu Achiv Machmes Mila. It's a case where his brothers died. He had a couple of brothers who had died. They got a Bris Mila, and then they ended up dying from either too much blood loss or not enough blood in their body yet. So this child didn't get a Bris Mila because it was dangerous for him. So Tosfos, I'm not sure here or elsewhere, all over this, he always argues what... Ara means, yeah, Tosa in the bottom here also says this. Tosa says, Ariel, Perisha Kunshus Shemesu Achiv Machmas Mila, with a Perisha Apostle Nami Bachuma. According to this very Perish, such an individual can't eat Chuma either. Yalf Chuma mi Pesach, because they are Shava. He goes on to say here, Abay doesn't argue. There is a Rabbeinu Tam, many places in Shas, which is brought down here, that he said the definition of Ariel is different. It doesn't mean someone who's Machmas Achiv. It's, I think, because. They just didn't give it to him. I think that's what the case is, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Let's see. I think he brings it back here. Right, exactly. Rabbeinu Tam says it's a case of b'mumar la'reil, someone who violates, that he doesn't want to give his son a bris mila, that's why. But not a machmas. He has a number of questions why this is, because a person who doesn't get bris mila machmas achiv shemesu, the guy is simply ones. The machmas ones, and he goes on to bring another other sugyas to discuss this idea. Rabbeinu Tam himself says that din is talking about arel is a case of mumar la reilos. That's a big machlokas all over Shas. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow from the bottom how we connect this brisa back to our Mishnah.